There's your 8 a.m. rooster call. Good morning, Arizona. It is Rosie on the house. We're in the outdoor living hour with open lines at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Joining us this hour, we have John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, our host of the Talking Trees, back this week because Jay's actually on a layover right now in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is really funny because he was leaving Iowa to come to Phoenix. So they've got him routed very strange. Airline industry is very interesting, but he's been judging the America in Bloom contest, and we actually had an interview with him yesterday. We'll be playing a little bit later about the contest. Pretty neat. Something we could bring to a couple Arizona cities, I think, if a few would qualify. And we have Tim Wusso, owner of Scotty's Lawnmower. When I found out Jay wasn't going to be here, and I just happened to be at Scotty's this week getting my lawnmower tuned up, and I went to pick it up yesterday, I thought, well, you know what? Scotty, make it a very timely interview. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.
And then we have Stan Zimbrennan of Rosie on the House Remodeling joining us in studio as well. We have his wife, Nancy's on the call screener station, and you get in touch with her at 1-888-767-4348. Let's start with desert adaptive plants. It's going to be 118 this week, and those native plants are going to pay for themselves in water savings.
Well, that's right.
Hang on just a second. You got one more button to turn on. You're in. Yep, that one. You're
in. Hey, there we go.
New seat today.
I'm at Rosie's chair.
You're in the captain's chair today.
I am. Well, yeah, we had the desert adapted trees that we have here in Arizona have special qualities that allow them to be able to handle this kind of heat. And I thought it might be interesting to look at a few of those. They're called xerophytes. A third of the Earth's surface. That was such a cool broadcast this last hour. We were just talking about that earlier. That was really great. Interesting stuff.
And if you missed it, not all of our affiliates carry the 7 o'clock hour. We had the Meteor Hunters from the Meteor Hunting TV show.
Meteor Man.
Well, it's not.
Meteorite Man.
Meteorite Man. You have to say meteorite. You can't say meteor. Licensing somewhere.
Maybe you want to go out and get a metal detector and start looking around. Yeah. I've heard that meteors sometimes fall in ice flows, so there's places around the world where there's ice, and then you can see the meteors real easily. So
yeah,
if you
want
to go up to the Arctic, take a vacation up to the Arctic and walk some ice flows. You know?
But you can go podcast that on Rosie.
But a third of the Earth's surface is desert. And the plants that have adapted themselves to live in the desert have qualities that are really peculiar to those plants. They're called xerophytes, xero meaning dry and phyte meaning plant. And these are dry plants. They have these really cool – think about this. All the plants we have are here in the desert that do well. They have a low compact growth habit, which reduces their exposure to the sun, obviously, and the wind. And water loss through evaporation. They have smaller leaves, seasonal leaves, or no leaves. A lot of our desert trees actually drop their leaves in the summer in order to conserve water because photosynthesis, when the leaves are exposed, one of the byproducts is water vapor loss. So trees actually will lose their leaves. We call it a summer dormancy. And a lot of our customers say, hey, my mesquite died. It's dropped all its leaves. Well, actually, it's just protecting itself. When it doesn't have enough water reserves to keep pumping out the water vapor, it will just shut down by dropping its leaves. As soon as there's available water, it puts new leaves on and starts the process over again. Also, there are sometimes hairs on the leaves. These little hairs actually reduce the wind, which tends to cause higher levels of evaporation off the leaf surface. So that also is a quality that they've developed over time to help them not to lose so much water through transpiration. Also, non-porous covering on leaves such as wax. A lot of our agaves and other plants have a very smooth leaf surface, and it's a kind of a cuticle of wax, which prevents the water from escaping off the surface of the plant. We also have unique leaf shapes. Our agaves have kind of a funnel shape, which kind of provides little areas of shade within the plant. Our saguaros have these pleats. And if you think about that, when the sun hits a saguaro cactus, those pleats are creating a little area of shade between those pleats, which also is going to kind of cool that trunk surface. Also, they have control of water loss. Some of them have fewer stomata. Stomata are these little cells in the bottoms of the leaves which release the water vapor. Well, our desert plants have adapted by having fewer of those stomata so that the release points are releasing less water vapor. And also, our plants have slower growth. Sometimes these plants metabolize at a very, very slow rate of speed. So they're losing water at a slow rate of speed. I also thought it might be kind of interesting to think about this in terms of lessons that we can learn from our botanical desert companions. First of all, lay low and avoid sun exposure. Slow your pace and therefore your perspiration. In fact, I had a friend in Hawaii, in fact, my nephew, and we were walking from his apartment in high humidity, and he said, I've learned since I've been living here for 10 years in Hawaii to walk slowly because you don't perspire. He doesn't want to get to work and be completely sweaty. So he just said, we just learned to walk at a little slower pace so you don't generate so much perspiration. So maybe that's a lesson for us too. Slow your pace in life. Learn not to perspire as much. Avoid strenuous activity in the hottest part of the day. Drink plenty of water. Conserve it as best you can. Carry a little bit extra with you like our desert plants do. And maybe another reminder would be to plant a tree this year so that you'll have a little extra shade next year.
Excellent. Well, we've got Sandy in Maricopa who wants to talk to you, but before we get to that, it is Bermuda grass season. And
right before I leave that, I want to point out that the points I just mentioned are all contained in an article I wrote called How Plants Survive in the Desert, and it's on our website at itreeservice.com.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. When I pulled the lawnmower out of the truck, you're like, man, you must have a pretty big lawn. I'm like, how does he know that by looking at the mower?
Yeah, I could see a little bit of wear on your mower.
So. It gets used.
Yeah, you put some laps with that thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what was it that specifically you were able to identify?
Well, I mean, I did notice that you take good care of your mower. You know, you've got clean oil and air filter, but the chains being loose is a clue for me, how dull your blade is. The wheels, I can tell by the wheels, you know, the mileage.
Couple miles.
Like your car, worn out tires, you know.
So how do you size a lawnmower to the right size lawn? Because personally, I was never going to have a lawn. I thought, man, this is just the dumbest thing to do. Why would you put grass in the desert? And then, you know what? Kids change a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, I can just tell when people have those symptoms on their mower, they have a lot of wear and tear. I just can tell that they've got a big lawn, and I ask them, and it seems to be a big lawn in Arizona is 5,000-6,000 square feet, whereas people that move from the Midwest, that's a small yard for them, you know. So but with our type of mowers, that seems to be kind of a breaking point where I try to encourage a larger mower.
And a new mower is an investment.
Yeah, the real mowers especially, you know, those big True Cuts, $1,800, $1,900. But we've got on the rotary end, we've got, there's a twin blade Toro 30-inch we sell for $999, so not too bad. I mean, it's more than most people think a mower should be. But
now, what would have been the proper way to winter your mower? Move back to August.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the end of September, just depending on your lawn. What's the proper way to winter that?
Leave
the gas and all the oil?
Yeah. the oil doesn't matter so much as the gas. The gas is the sticking point because gas tends to go bad in 30 to 45 days. And so if you leave a mower sitting around for a month or two, it's going to clog the carburetor. You know, so you're going to get either dying or surging. And low power. So for years, we tried to teach people to run the gas out at the end of the season. And usually we consider the end of the season to be more like October, November, because a lot of people will mow right into the holidays and then they forget about the mower and it just sits there. So if you can run the gas out, that's a good thing to do. But it's hard to get all the gas out of the carburetor. So the canned fuel is an easy solution. You can just run the pump gas out, buy some canned fuel that doesn't have the ethanol, pour that in there, and then run that through, and then it can sit for 6-8 months.
Canned fuel.
Yeah.
The synthetic.
Yeah, it's not really synthetic, but it's fuel that's not, it does not have the ethanol added, and it doesn't have all the other stuff added. So it's just a very pure fuel that has a 2-year shelf life in the closed can, and then a year shelf life once it's opened.
Is that for 2-stroke or 4-stroke?
We've got both.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've got 2-stroke that's pre-mixed, 40-to-1 and 50-to-1, and it's 94 octane, so it's got you covered on every angle. So
what does that cost a gallon? Is that something you sell?
Yeah, we sell it for the VP brand for $21 a gallon, and then quarts are $6.95.
And you wouldn't need to run a whole quart through.
No. It's primarily for those machines that are sitting a lot or low usage. So chainsaw, you may use your chainsaw once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of trying to run it dry, you can just leave this in there, you know.
Chainsaw, weed like eater.
That
that's, yeah. I used to use a weed eater a lot, but now I've got a 4-legged goat that has done a magnificent job.
That's your weed eater these days.
Huh? It is.
I got a question, Tim. Uh-huh. What you mentioned about the wear on the blade affecting other parts of the. What are some of the downsides of letting that blade go dull? What kind of other maintenance problems does that create?
Well, a dull blade will cause a yellow tear on your grass. Okay, the reason that we like reel mowers instead of rotary mowers is because they actually use a scissor type cut instead of just like a machete. So mm-hmm. to speak. So you get a cleaner cut, and you're not going to have that yellow tip that's torn, and that yellow tip is counterproductive to that green look we're going for. You know, think about a golf green. Mm-hmm. You've got a perfectly green surface there, and that yellow is that yellow tear is hard for the plant to heal. You know, so you're actually, you know.
You also mentioned it caused the chain to be loose.
Yeah, well, the chains, nobody loops their chains. So the chains get loose over time. But, you know, chains like $10, so I usually swap those out when necessary. But yeah, when the chain gets too loose and it starts to rattle around, it chews up sprockets and it can jump off and bend an axle, for that matter.
1-888-767-4348.